for 40, ran a much better race than it had run, won by 8 that day. Then the next race it wins, it was disqualified. And now they're saying that that horse is now going to, it'll go to hell off of that. Except they don't recognize that that horse has never been this good before. So, I mean, where's the horse going to level off? You can't make a positive statement out there. And, you know, we're getting big odds on some of our horses now.
In total, $10,000 claims. Look at what it goes. Destroyed it a lot.
Yeah, the allowance fee?
No, he won by a nose.
He destroyed the race before that.
16.
That's right. And then, and the day he won, he comes staggering down. He almost made the outside fence that way. And I kind of I passed him in the next race because he was in a race that he ought to win. After that race, he'd gone to the outside rail. He showed up in 4 bandages the other day. He still won, but...
Which horse was that?
In Toto.
Oh, in Toto.
Yeah, all of a sudden, he's sporting 4 bandages where he hadn't been wearing them. He won again, though. He's very game.
16.
Tom.
Won a game race.
I just wanted to support the statement about the...
In reference to Tom's variance of a little personal plug that he won't make, Midnight Ice came up to be one length off his absolute best race, came up to be one length shy of Valiant Cougar. I played Midnight Ice as the second horse in the exact one way, and we got beat out at the wire. And I figured the horse was going to be staggering at the end because he hadn't been on a track for a while. But, I mean, Thoroughgraph, by comparison to Phase 3 or Tom's variance or any of that stuff.
Well, but it wasn't pointed. No, I just want you to be aware of the fact that my job is to anticipate things.
Going to help your mutual.
You are going to get better pictures, but you are also going to hear a lot about it. And you're also going to say, I wonder if I can do that. And we're going to show you at the end of today how you can do it better.
I think a real important point, when I sent you those sheets, it would, you know, Tom and I went to a seminar, I think it was preceding Hollywood.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, as a matter of interest, I like to be informed about everything that's going on. But the important thing to me was that you had to interpret the sheets anyway. And to me, you have much less to hang your hat on with these sheets, really. And, boy, I'll tell you, if you keep a good model and all this other stuff, we're just leagues ahead of what you can do with these sheets. They just don't give you enough to make an intelligent decision on.
I'm very delighted that they're around now because they will drive our new models.
Wonderful.
Hey,
amen.
Robert, I sent them to everybody. I got one in the mail. I must be on the mail list someplace. Yeah. And
but Rinkowski sent me the code that they use. Well, I got just to show me some sheets. He gave me the code they gave out. Let's try to, when the next session, there'll be a lot of horsey stuff you can talk about because you want to recount how you did in that race. Tom is going to be doing some races, and those little comments will be fine. You don't have to raise your hand to say it. Just say whatever comes to your mind. Tom handles crowds better than I do. He just tell you to shut up. Like we did some guy. Before Tom comes up here, though, does everybody know that 112 is higher than 111, and 110 is lower than 111? And 1 is plus, and 1 is minus, and sometimes the plus is the minus is the plus, as opposed to... Because yesterday we had one guy who thought that three-year-olds who ran... a regular horse who ran 112 and a three-year-old supposed to get 3, that means he won 111 and 2. And it was, you know, Tom was trying to graciously explain. So what he's going to do is to take you through his process for building a horses to watch. Well, that's the dedication of this whole thing, is to create the opportunity of not just taking the racing form blindly every day and seeing what they're going to do against each other that day, but to have a sort of a stable of your own that you go in with, either as an alternative means of betting or as a supporting means of betting. And so we recall and recap Tom's record in his horses to watch. Found it amazing when the day started. A one horse win proficiency of over 60%. It's about 68% if you followed it twice, which really means that following it twice is not worth it. You don't make your money back. And 70 some odd percent place, and much better even to show. So, it is a valid concept, the valid procedure he uses to get these. He has the best horses to watch record of any person in America. As you know, Todd has been made the chief executive of the Racing Information Network, the longtime dream of Quirin and Quinn et al. And his assistant is the renowned handicapper Lee Russo. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, I was told about this. Asked if it was okay, a PERCO member shared his calendar with this organization. They said to me, and his assistant will be the very capable Lee Russo, one of a couple $1 million. They're more designed for accuracy. But he won a lot of money winning two of those contests. And Tom never won a contest. So why should Tom be his boss? I guess they think that Tom is a more solid, informative type of guy who's not.
Lee is a final time freak and buyer style.
Lee also picked Fabrino yesterday, who had absolutely no chance in the feature.
Yeah,
well, I saw that on somebody's sheet.
Well, remember, the conventional handicap dominant, and Tom is the only one in our group who can take conventional thinking, historically conventional thinking, and keep it in his lexicon, get along with these people, talk to them, they know what they're doing. They almost know what he's saying. What am I going to do? It's not weird. He's kind of an interpolator. He's the guy we send. He's an ambassador. We want to talk to the conventional big shots. We send Tom because he's by golly, he's far out. Far out. All right. Well, I would never win. So. Tom is giving you a very valid, and he demonstrated by giving us 24 horses to watch yesterday without knowing what was happening to the track yesterday, and two of them came in very good music so far. You know, one in place. Yeah.
I didn't see that. I just know that.
Yeah. I said, did you bet it to place? And what, it paid $9?
Which one?
Nine and something, man.
Which one?
Oh, that's good. For me, that's all I'd want. Give me a horse to place. I don't care. So before I introduce Tom again, are you all aware of the fact that our beloved Dick Schmidt has, in just the last few weeks, become a father?
Yeah. All right.
The doctor's a little worried, though, because the pregnancy symptoms haven't gone down too much.
Boy or girl?
I spent the night out here last night. We're going over races.
Which way did he get any sleep?
That's a little Maximilian Schmidt.
Golden Gauntlet.
You don't have to say it yet. Interesting. Here's Tom, and we'll take the first session of today's, and we'll take it two segments.
We're an hour later starting.
Yeah, we're a little later starting. This is a more inquisitive group that we have here today.
Okay. You got stuff they didn't know. We didn't even talk about some of the good.
It's an observant group.
You get the benefit of yesterday's class. This is the first time we have been through this particular session. And I warned them up front yesterday we're going to kind of stumble through a lot of material. And we did. I made a couple of quantum leaps and had to turn back and bring everybody back up to speed. We also had one guy get a little pushed out of shape because he didn't understand that if I said that we had a part time of 111 and the three-year-olds run three lengths off that part time, he decided they had to run 110 and 2. He could not understand that they would run three lengths slower than the older horses. We're going to spend a little time building on that amongst ourselves here. What we're going to do is I'm going to go through a day with you. Actually, it's a week, and I'm going to talk about making a very quick variant on the turf races for a given week, and then we're going to go back and look at each of those races after we've adjusted them for the turf, or for the variant for that week. Develop some horses to watch out of that. Not only develop them onto a live list that we're going to walk away with, because we wound up running with 24 horses yesterday on this material. We're not only going to develop that list, we're going to develop the procedure for you to do it on your own. Then we're going to do, or you're going to do, a day's worth of variance. Now, this is not a sophisticated variant like we were developing in that workshop. We're only doing a variant based on lengths, and we just want to get it close so you can look at some of these races and say that was a strong race, that was a weak race. That's all we're trying to get to here. We're not trying to make variant makers out of you. We've already tried that and
failed.
I get a lot of people that come and go from the variants. People say, I'm going to try them. I'm going to try to make variants on my own for a while. And I had two or three of them come back this week and say, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm sure to have you do it for me. And I appreciate the fact that they tried to do that because I would too. Anyway, we're going to go through that day, develop the variant for that day so that you can do it on your own, reasonably quickly. Then we're going to take a look at a couple of trouble lines that you want to look for when you read the charts. And I suggest to you that you do read the charts every time you get them back. Not so much the charts in the newspapers because they're not very complete. But when you buy your racing forms, look at the charts from the previous day's racing. Or actually, you'll get them two days after, right. But look at those charts, read through them. It doesn't take you long to do that. You'll wind up with some real pearls, and we're going to talk about how to drag them out of there. Then we're going to take a couple of days, there were 3 days at the beginning of the Santa Anita meeting in December. The rains hit on the 29th. And the day that the rains hit, the racetrack was being raced upon, right? Which means that it was wide open to accept that rain. And it got very deep. Took several days to dry out. Now, Santa Anita, and for the past couple of years, has gotten very sustained in the drying out process. Whereas it used to be during a muddy process, a muddy track a few years ago, you could count on speed holding up pretty well, or early pace holding up pretty well. Well, in the last couple of years, since they started adding the sand, the track has been getting very sustained. Now, we had about a 3-day period where if you got to the lead, you were dead. Mm-hmm. You were absolutely dead. You were betting. If you observed it early on, you could bet the last fractions on a lot of these horses and wind up with a lot of winners. Horses won that should not have won. Just clearly should not have won under normal circumstances. Well, what we're going to do is look at horses that ran very well against that bias. In other words, horses that got to the lead, horses that survived on the lead, and we're going to draw them out of here as horses to watch. Now, unfortunately, had we done this, say, a week and a half ago, we would have cashed on a number of these because some of these have already run back. But it's the process we're interested in, as well as developing our own list. But we wound up a fellow that was a Gene Price sitting up in the front yesterday, and when we were finished, he had 24 horses to watch. And I want to write these down as a group and walk out of here with them. And again, we would have cashed one yesterday that we developed at $20-some. Okay, I want to make a point. Let me give you some adjustments to write these down, please. Well, I'll do this one. All right. After that. The part times we're going to fool with. I want you to understand that for females, on the part time chart down below, I give you an energy adjustment. Well, that's not going to help you a whole lot in what we're going to do today. So what I want to do is give you the lengths to deal with. In other words, if you have a par, the pars are all based on older males. So if you have a female running, you'll want two lengths in a sprint, three in a route. Now let's suppose the par for what is the par for a sprint at $20,000? 6 furlongs. It's only
110.2.
I'm sorry, what?
110.2.
110.2. Therefore, for females, that becomes 110.2 plus two lengths, right? So when you're trying to do a variant, you now have a par for that $20,000 level as 110.4. Now, if it's a route, you add three lengths to it. So now that's how you get your female pars. Now you have three-year-olds. Now, three-year-olds, especially at this time of year, in fact, all year long, if you have races restricted, even in November, restricted to three-year-olds, they're going to run at least one length slower than the
any sex?
Any sex, yeah. Now, I'm going to give you the adjustment here. Three-year-olds in a sprint, any sex, in a sprint, three lengths, and in a route, this is actually a little low, but it's close enough so that we can use it all the way through about April.
And after that, they begin, these numbers begin to shrink because they begin to develop into stronger, more mature horses. But for now, for the Santa Anita meeting, if you use three here and five there, you're close enough for the kind of work we're going to do here.
Question, Tom. Are these kind of, these adjustments are in general type of adjustments that hold throughout the United States for
this
time, right?
That's right. These are based on current expenses. Okay. Now, let's go back to this here. Suppose this race then was carded for $20,000 females that are 3 years old. Now what's the clock?
111 and 2.
Well, so you are adding the female too.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, he said it was for a female race.
Yeah. So now you have two adjustments to make to those pars, because the pars are based on older horses. So an older male is going to run it in 110 and 2. A younger female is going to run it in 111 and 2 as a general rule. Does everybody see how we got that? Oh, I should have done this yesterday, because what we did is we started bouncing around and lost a few people, got them all back but one. And when the day was over, he finally came over and said, I think I've got it now. He said, I didn't mean to cause any problems. It's all right.
We're sorry that we roughed him up.
I'm sorry. I had to take him outside and put some sense into it. 111-2. Now, this is how we get that. If these had been routes, we would have added 3 and 5. That's the ground.
That's up till April?
Make sure I understand. When you develop your part-times, they're from 4 years up and up?
Yeah. This is for older horses, 4 years older.
And males.
Otherwise, we have, I can't put out a sheet like this. I wind up putting out sheet for here, sheet for female, sheet for three-year-olds, and so on. Okay.
What happens after April?
Well, after April, call me on a telephone. Because it becomes about, I think, in Hollywood Park, we use 2 and about 4. Then as it gets into the summer at Del Mar, that holds pretty well, say 2 and 3. When it gets into the fall, it's 1 and 2. All the way through the fall. And in the first week or so in January, first 3 weeks in January, is still, for races that are carded for 4-year-old only, is still, they run slower than the 4-year-olds and up. Because it's a restricted, anytime you have restrictions, they run a little slower. Okay. So now let's go to, in fact, we have to do a little bit of work. Go to page 2 first. 2 with a circle. This is a whole card, less the third race, which was run on a grass. Down at the bottom, the Xeroxing process eliminated some times here, and I want to write them in. The fifth race, which was run by Dance for Lee, I'm going to give you the fractions that you're concerned with here. 47 and 2, 112 and 2, 145 and 3.
3?
Yeah, 145 and 3. Now move to the ninth race, the other side of the page, the bottom one. 46 2, 111 3, 144 and 4. Okay, now that's what you did. Now let's turn back another page to page 1. Nick, I probably use you. Now let me offer something to you as a group. Everybody got those times? Making a turf variant is for those of you that are paying me to do your variants. There were a couple of situations where I really earned the money. One of them is on off tracks, and the other is on the turf course. And the reason the turf course is so difficult is that you only get one race a day. Which means that to do a variant for that day, I've got to go in and project every horse in that stinking race as to what he should have run versus what he did run. And that's very time consuming. Now what I also do though, and I suggest to you, is that you take over a reasonably consistent period of time weather-wise, the week. In fact, I used 4 days here before the rains hit, is to take the turf races for that 4-day period and make a single variant for the turf course for that period of time. Now, there's one little hook that they'll throw at you, and that is occasionally they'll put up an auxiliary inner rail to protect that turn course. It's called, they refer to it as the dogs are up. Okay? So sometimes that can get a little confusing in there, but most of the time it's consistent for that week. So just, and again, we're only trying to get close enough for government work here. We're not trying to compare it. So now let's take a look at the seventh race on the 13th of January. Now, I've written in the turn pars that you need here. Now, a lot of you already have my turn pars because they were sent out when you asked for the Hollywood pars last year. Now, if you don't have them, send me an envelope with a stamp on it, and I'll send them back to you. Okay, but I've written them in here for this exercise. So I have classified allowance, nominators of three, nominators of three females, and nominators of one down at the bottom. So now let's take a look at the race on January 13th. And that race is run in 147 and 4. And it's a classified allowance race, as you can tell by the conditions of the race. Therefore, that racetrack on that particular day compared to par was what? It was what?
A fifth slow.
We're talking fifth. Okay, so that race, okay, compared to par, that race was one length slow, right? So now we'll say that we'll put S1, slow one. So now let's look at the next race, which was on the 14th, won by Lightsaber. The par for this race is non-winners of three, or 148 flat, right? And it's run in 149 and 2?
Slow 7.
Slow 7. Everybody understand why it's slow 7 as opposed to anything else, all right? The very next race is the 15th of January. It's 150 and 2.
Slow 9.
And the par is 148 and 3. Because that was the female adjustment to the nominators in three. So that becomes slow 9. The other race, the one won by Silver Dew, the par is 149, and the race is run in 150 and 3.
Slow 8.
That's slow 8, isn't it? Now, before we do a thing with that, after you've done this little work, What really hits you right between the your glasses there?
Seventh race was a pretty good race, and
then a hell of a race.
You've got a real barn burner.
That horse is running today too, by the way.
Yeah. I've got in bed, as a matter of fact. So is me.
You dog.
That's the only one I knew was running today. But anyway, and he's in a great spot. I
mean, he sure is.
He's been scratched, so don't worry about it.
He what?
He's been scratched, I think.
Okay, well then we get to use him as a horse to watch, because we're going to develop him in a moment. Yeah, we all loved him in there too. Okay. Let's make the bearing, yes.
Do you take into consideration that apparently this was a pretty soggy turf course, and maybe this horse likes that kind of turf course?
Well, yeah, sometimes you can do that, but it doesn't change the variant any. So where you'll make that consideration is once you make the variant, say that race is really fast, then you have to decide whether or not he was really moved up on that.
Well, then maybe plot him off another race.
Or plot him off another race, or just decide that it moved him up so much, maybe I don't like him at all. But the turf course was firm, it was just dull.
Okay.
Turf course is firm here, all the way through these 4 days. So now let's look at the variant. We have a slow 1, slow 7, slow 9, slow 8. Now what you want to do with this, and sometimes it becomes a little difficult because you have something like the slow 1 in here, but we do have a base of 4. So we add up 7, 1, 9, and 8, divide those by 4, which says that for this 4-day period, this turf course was slow 6. I think what I wound up doing when I projected these races is I made it slow 7, if I'm not mistaken, but that's neither here nor there. That's only one length different than we did it from this simpler process. So we make it slow 6. So let's go back in now. Yes?
Why wouldn't you just throw the 1 out, since it's in the manuals it says that we're making variants, throw the oddball out? Why would you just...
Well, it doesn't say that about making variants in the manual. Because you have to consider races that were fast and slow as far as making variance are concerned.
Well,
as far as making your energy numbers, you can throw them out. Okay. Didn't I say a moment ago that this kind of a race does cause you a lot of problems? You can throw that out if you want. See, suppose you throw it out. You wind up with slow 8, right? We wind up with slow 6, which is pretty close anyway. Now, in my actual computation, I projected this race and wound up with slow 7.
Oh, I see.
Okay, so that's pretty close. We're just trying to get it close because I'm not trying to make a... If I were going to tell you, go make a professional variant all the time, I'd say, be careful with that race. Probably base it on these, but make sure that you project each one of these races and find out where it is. And I would agree with that statement. This race causes problems. Okay, because what it's going to do is that when you make the variance, it's going to push this race into another world, but it's going to bring these races down a little bit. Okay, but when we interpret this in a moment, we're going to make allowances for that.
We're taking a giant step backwards here and going back to lengths. Forgotten all of Howard's wonderful feet per second stuff. This is down and dirty horses to watch. We only want horses on horses to watch this that are so outstanding that they shine no matter how we get them.
And this is a lot. Sorry. This is a lot faster to do it this way than it is to compute the feet per second, divide all that up, come back and adjust the race. Now we're going to adjust
the race. I just thought the philosophy was still
okay. It does to a great extent, but not for this exercise.
Okay.
All right, now let's go back to the political ambition race and adjust that race by 6. Okay, now, this is where I lost one individual for sure yesterday, but he was lost from the beginning, so we lost a few people here, we got everybody back up to date. Now, what is the adjusted time for the political ambition race?
146.3.
Do I hear anything other than 146.3? Great, we did the right preparation. All right, 146.3.
Smart group.
Pardon?
Smart group.
There you go.
Good teacher.
The next race, we want to adjust the lightsaber race. What is that? What's the adjusted figure? What?
148.1.
See, the variance 6 for that whole 4 days. What about the 7th race? Actually, we have 2 7th races. What about down again race?
149.1.
And the next race then is the Silver Dude race. 149.2, brother. 149.2? Okay. Now we have another step to make. Let's now compare these adjusted races to the pars. So this is we're finished now. We're looking at an adjusted race. We're going to compare that to par to see how strong or weak these races might have been. Anytime you get one that says 146.3, I guess it's kind of obvious for me to tell you that was a strong race. But how strong is that after it's been adjusted?
Five.
That race is fast 5 after adjustment. Now the difference between classified allowance and stakes races on a normal basis is about 2 lengths, maybe 3. So that tells you that this race moves up into the graded stakes category, turns to that winner. And he is a much improved horse, and the rumor at the racetrack is that he'll be in the Stroom Stakes now. Yeah. Yes?
With this group of races, you have 4 for a given week, so your adjustment was 6. Do you continue, as the season progresses, averaging out all the turf races, or just week to week?
Week to week, a few days to a few days. And the reason for that is, as the grass grows, racetrack will slow down a little bit.
I see.
And then they'll put up that auxiliary rail, and then you're mixing the races that when the dogs were up versus races that the dogs were down.
So they just do it on a weekly basis then?
Weekly or a few days. I mean, what I did here, I also make a variant, not only for you, I make a variant for Racing News Network. Mm-hmm. I'm their numbers man in Southern California. Uh-huh. And for Racing News Network.
Oh.
And so, anyway, what I can't do, and what I don't want to do for them right now, is we want to do everything on pars for the first month or so that everybody's up to date the same way in the country. Mm-hmm. So I'm not projecting these races, which meant that I had to sit there and wait till I had enough of a base to make my variant. Well, it rained the following day. So I had 4 days, then to the rain. So I had 4 days to work with.
Tom?
Yes.
I didn't hear something you said about the classified allowance, two levels or something. I didn't quite hear what you said.
Well,
two lengths?
Yeah, okay. Look at your apartheid chart. The difference between classified and stakes, now see, I've updated this a little bit for other work, but at a mile and a 16th, it's three lengths. At a mile and an eighth, it's actually four here, not two or three. So if the difference between stakes and classified is four, we've just put this horse into a stakes plus category.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Lightsaber's race. No, we haven't done it.
No, we haven't.
All right. Lightsaber's race now is 148-1 adjusted. That race is one slow, isn't it?
That's a pretty good race, too.
Well, it is when you consider we have a fast five in the middle of our base here. Yes, it is. Because this could easily be, if we'd have projected the other race, could easily be fast one. So, I mean, when you get it that close, we're going to look at this race carefully compared to these other two. The down again race becomes what?
Three slow.
Yep. The silver dude race becomes?
Eight slow.
Two slow.
149.
Yeah, two slow. 149 and two was adjusted, the par was 149. So that becomes two slow. And we want to look at all of these races, but what we want to do especially is look at the seventh race first, because that's the one that we're going to draw some horses to watch out. Now, is everybody, because you're going to get to do this in a moment, so that you'll know whether or not you can do it on your own. Because in a moment, we're going to do one race together, then you're going to do the rest of the card. We'll take about 20 minutes, and you can do the rest of the card. Yesterday, it took 20 or 25 minutes. So. All right, so let's take a look at this race together, though. I am stating the obvious here. I don't think it's anything kind of a surprise. The political ambition in this race practically stepped into another world from the classified allowance level. And now, and somebody said he read it, but we heard it out at the racetrack also, that political ambition will be entered into sweepstakes.
Is that the $500,000 one?
I think it is a $500,000.
According to his owner, he's going to be entered.
Owners, there's about 20 of them. Jeff Siegel.
Yeah, Jeff Siegel said, for $500,000, we're going to put him in on the main track.
Absolutely. Because the horse is there, he's a brand new four-year-old. He hasn't been raced very much. So he's been developing to the extent that maybe now he's an entirely different horse than when he was on the dirt before. Now, some of you might remember that when he won his maiden by six lengths, was on my horses to watch.
Right.
Yeah. But he took a while before he repeated that maiden win. But he's got a lot of potential, and he is now. If he transfers this race into the sweepstakes, I will play him. I mean, I'll play him anyway. Because he's going to run against Ali Sheba on the line in some of those horses. They're not bad, but this horse might be extra good. Because one thing they haven't done, except for Ali Sheba's race in the Breeders' Cup, is that they haven't managed to beat many good older horses. This horse was in a field for everybody.
This is one of the Clover Racing.
And consider, since we made this five fast, Trokos is one fast himself.
Absolutely.
And there's another thing about Trokos. If you'll take a look at the classified allowance par again, the par is 111.2, 147.3. Take a look at Trokos' fractions in this race. This is his first race in the United States. And he commits suicide on the front end, or you would think so, because we thought it was happening that day out in front. And there's a pretty decent front runner running behind him called Captain Vigers, who's kind of a professional hanger, but nevertheless, a good test for us. Captain Vigers is running behind him, and you kind of expect Captain Vigers to move right on by him, right? This little devil really hung tough.
That's right.
Political ambition got by him, but nobody else. If you look at the gap from him to Rich Earth, he didn't quit. He didn't quit in this race. He really ran strongly after setting blistering fractions of that turf course. So make Trokos definitely a horse to watch. Now, unlike political ambition, Trokos is probably going to be seen, since he's scratched today, in an old classified allowance race. And he'll be running against horses that maybe you'll get 5-2, 3-1 on. So let's make him a horse to watch off. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for somebody that committed suicide on the front end, and, or you would think committed suicide, and still managed to go to the wire pulling away from the rest of the field in a highly rated race, especially. Trocos is a horse to watch, and that's what you look for when you're looking at this. Yes.
Considering the nature of the feature at Santa Rita yesterday, would you consider this land and sea in the same category as Trocos or Political Ambition? There was a 30-to-1 shot going over and ran the legs off of
very subtle.
Very subtle.
No, because for one thing, by land and sea, she wouldn't be in this class anyway. She's a female.
Yeah.
And she's a 4-year-old only. She's a 4-year-old?
She four.
That was about
4-year-olds.
Yeah, it was 4-year-olds only. That
right.
I wouldn't put her in this class yet. And plus, the one thing about Very Subtle, she still never finished first in a 2-turn race.
Yeah, no. Right.
So I'm not sure I wouldn't discount that race a little bit.
Yeah. Actually, she came back on the stretch, land and sea, so yeah. Very Subtle spit it out.
Yeah, but that race was only 3/5 off the track
record. It was fast. She smoked.
It was race all day, though.
It's just this other filly, my God, threw in a monster race compared to what she did before.
Yeah, you guys have got me at a disadvantage because I haven't made my very entry yesterday. See, the track
you have to do this process. One race doesn't mean anything. You have to look at the other races that week.
Doesn't make sense.
Otherwise, it's meaningless.
Yeah,
one fast race means nothing.
That's right. It's 2/5 off the stakes record, as Don points out, not the track record.
Right.
Okay, and until you do a variant, see, what if the track comes up 6 fast yesterday? That race loses a lot of its importance, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Plus, Very Subtle is a terrific sprinter, probably the best one in the country, but she doesn't ran the longer races. She just doesn't.
I have a question. South American horses are supposed to be 6 months different in age than ours. Are they not 6 months younger? She is from Brazil.
Who's from Brazil?
So is she really a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old? The filly you're talking about, I believe, didn't she come from Brazil?
She came from Kentucky.
Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't.
Kentucky.
She's a Gary Jones horse that went over at 7 furlongs at Hollywood Park during the fall.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Anyway, until we go through this process, or you go through this process, I haven't a clue as to whether or not that race bears upgrading by Mendes or not. But I know that she beat a horse that's never managed. I mean, as good as Very Subtle is, she's just never managed to win around 2 turns. So it's not a major accomplishment.
But nobody else was in the race. I mean, if it wasn't for that man, so far, Very Subtle would have won by daylight.
Okay, but see, that's the same thing could be said of last year's race against Timely Assertion. Mm-hmm. It never turned out to be that much, did she?
Not yesterday.
She hasn't this year. But I mean, nevertheless, she beat her also.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I don't know. I mean, and they were in a race of their own that year.
She didn't beat her yesterday.
I would personally have a little trouble making Trocos a horse to watch. If the bias generally at Santa Anita on the turf, if I remember, is against speed horses.
Sure is.
If that is the horse's natural running characteristic, it's going to keep doing this. You know, set these high.
Let me ask you a question about that. First of all, I don't know yet because it's only its first race, and the horse is fresh, so it may have more speed than normal, right? But the fact that it ran on the front end, setting those fractions. It still ran one length better than par on an adjusted track and drew away from everybody but Political Ambition who ran 5 lengths better than par. So, I mean, the fact is that it set those fractions and still drew away from the rest of the field. So, I mean, normally if the horse had stopped in the stretch and Richard comes up and catches it, then I'd say I agree with you. I mean, the horse stopped on a turf course, it'll probably stop again. I don't think so here. This horse ran very game, and plus I observed the horse. And it never shortened the stride. I mean, he was really digging in down the stride. Just he couldn't handle Political Ambition.
You like to see better on the dirt?
Pardon?
You like the dirt?
Who? Trocos. Maybe not. He's never been on the dirt before. He has no idea how he's going to handle it.
Well, he's from France. Would it help to look back
absolutely.
In the condition book that you got from James Quinn and see where you ran?
You would look back and see where he ran. Plus, you would look on a type of race track he ran on.
Yeah.
I mean, if he wins on a soft track, or a yielding track in France, which I'm sure he had to run on a number of times. If he won on those, it's going to tell you he's not speed crazy.
I think the dogs look okay.
Then they were up all week. Okay. When the dogs are up, it is advantage because it closes off the inside.
Yeah.
Okay, but the point is, no one was coming at him at that point anyway.
Well, that's what I mean. He's a good horse.
He is a good horse.
Running against the. negative of the document.
But we're not going to debate now whether he's a good, it'll take us all day if we debate every one of these. What I'm trying to do is show you the process. Now, whether you want to play Tropos next time, every one we're going to develop, you're going to have to decide whether you really want to play it. I'm playing Tropos next time. I'm guaranteeing you Quinn and Russo were playing Tropos next time. Because visually, he was very impressive in that race.
Unless he's up against the horse that won here, political ambition somehow, or a horse comparable. Always keep that proviso in the back of your mind that you don't throw out the methodology just because you have a horse to watch.
Yeah, today it was in against the ever-popular Swink. You know, Mace just wanted Charlie Whittingham for some reason said this might be the best grass horse he ever had. Then he sends him up to the Rothmans and the horse is distanced. I don't think he's spending the money.
No, he's been finishing up instead last
night. You can't play a horse to watch blind. You still got to do your thing.
That's right. Okay, let's get back to the subject, though. We're gonna because this is going to take us a while. So now we've taken political ambition and Tropos both, and I'll be very tempted to play political ambition in the strip stage because he's going to be a much bigger price than he should be now. And the concern you've got is whether he handles the dirt or not. But I think he probably will, because he ran on it earlier. He's been on it before, and he's never been this good. Let's go to the lightsaber race. Now, the one thing, I did not put lightsaber on my horses to watch list, but I'll tell you, he was visually impressive himself. He was running at the very back of the pack. Shoemaker made a move at the half mile.
What a move.
It was impressive. When he hit the half mile pole, he was running still 10th, I believe. And we kind of all agreed he was going to win that race. And he just flew by everybody and won in a hand run.
Yeah.
Now he's really going to be a nice a racehorse. But everybody in the world knows that right now. Everybody saw that race. And when he did this, there was not, on this turf course, there had not been a horse that had won that was any further back than just a couple of lengths at the second call. And at the second call, this little devil was still 10th. Now that was very impressive. Now, I offered to you, I mean, you can put it on your own horses to watch list. I chose not to put it on mine. But the horse I did put on my personal horse to watch list is Mazilier. Or Mazilier, however you want to pronounce that. Now, this horse hadn't been out since Del Mar. And he's out on the lead in reasonable fractions rather than the kind of fractions Trocos was out setting in his race. And he's in reasonable fractions. And read his trouble line. And this is the reason I'm suggesting to you that you always read the charts in the back of your racing form, because you pick up little pearls. Read this thing. It says, Mazilier, vied for the early lead, was checked in heavy traffic and dropped back a bit nearing the far turn. Now let's stop right there for a while. When that happens, generally that horse falls back into the pack somewhere after setting the pace and dropping back. Generally that happens. Now read the rest of it. Found renewed energy to get the lead between calls in mid-stretch, and could not resist the late charge of the winner. But he didn't quit. Take a look what he did in relation to the other eight horses in this meeting, including Gorky, who was razor sharp off of his only turf race, which he had finished very well in. Gorky was running at him and actually had gotten by him one time. And Mazilier comes back on after setting the pace and draws away from Gorky and the rest of that field.
This isn't apples and apples exactly, but I singled Campanellis yesterday because he was wide, and I looked up in the charts and it said that he finished willingly going into the stretch, and I thought his numbers were close enough. They gave me a little heart attack the way he ran yesterday, but he still won by a nose.
That's very observant, because that's why I'm suggesting to you read these charts, because you find out little pearls like this. When you're doing it in concert with a variant, so that you can say, okay, that race was decent too. I mean, if a horse comes out of a race, he has a lot of trouble in a race, but the race comes out 6-small after it's been adjusted, I mean, it doesn't make any difference. If he had a perfect trip, he's still not competitive for it. So it's better in use with this, but it's still very valuable. And Mazilier, we've already said this race is 1-slow, but we've also said it was a 5-fast in all of our 4 races. So if you drop out, like Marshall suggested earlier, if you drop out the political ambition race and consider that in a world of its own now, this race then becomes the best of these three races. So it might even be 1-fast if you did the variant a little differently. So remember, we're getting a variant close enough for our government work. We're not making an exact variant. So the fact that it's 1-slow and you see that kind of a performance, put Mazilier or Mazilier or however you want to pronounce that, put that on your horses to watch list.
Because it's on my personal list, for sure.
The fact that Lightsaber closed that much, that didn't impress you that much?
Absolutely, but it impressed everybody at the racetrack. Everybody up there was buzzing about that one.
Yeah, and the fact that we talked about Midnight Ice before, just digressing for a minute, the fact that people bet Midnight Ice was the fact that he chased Lightsaber, finished second to him in a race.
Anyway, that was the best race ever.
I heard five guys say that. Well, I bet Midnight Ice because look at the horse he chased.
Yeah, but Lightsaber was in a different context. He was running on the dirt now.
But they take that.
That's right. It's an erroneous observation. Plus, if you watch Midnight Ice, I did have that exact one way, Valiant Cougar to Midnight Ice, okay? But Midnight Ice, once they straightened out for the stretch, he was practically claiming. He had the short stride, choppy stride you see and he's wearing front bandages, the short, choppy stride of a horse that's not fit. And as he ran down the stretch, and Lee had also made that same play. And we just kind of held our breath toward the wire, and then finally Red Blue got by.
Grinder's agent on the Santa Anita show on TV, he said that Grinder had ridden Valiant and that he put him on Midnight Ice and he thought he was going to win. So
I've been reading Zero Ground.
Yeah.
Tom, can I ask one question about Lightsaber? Okay, we're all recognizing that he ran a hell of a race, but it was so obvious you're saying that, you know, maybe you're going to put him in an exact or something, but everyone is going to be on him, he's going to be another short price. The question is, at what level, though, might he be, like you're saying, political ambition, you might get a price, but he's going to be going against pure grade one horses.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so maybe, is there a place where Lightsaber might be worth a wager? I mean, you'd expect maybe he'll go into some sort of stakes after this.
That question you have to answer for yourself. Didn't I say before, if you want to put Lightsaber on your horses to watch, let's do it?
I'm saying, isn't there a reasonable analogy there, though? I mean, there's places where you're going to get a short price, but there's, you know, at what point might you get a decent price and he'd still be good enough to handle the job?
All right, they jump him into this political ambition race, right? Suppose now you move him into a race under identical conditions with those horses in it, right? Lightsaber moves into that and you're going to get a price on it. I wouldn't touch him. His horses are light years better than
his. He's got to go up town. That was 9-1 or 3.
Yeah, he's going to be somewhere. He's going to be either classified allowance or he's going to be in some kind of a stakes race. Plus, I got to tell you, I got a personal bias working here. I do not like horses that run 10th in a 10-horse field.
Sure.
They're subject to everything that happens in front of them.
Exactly.
Well, if he goes into a race enough where he's a decent price, he's going to be over his head.
Probably. I'm betting on that, personally. See, I would prefer to take the second place finisher out of this race. Much prefer to play that horse.
So you're making a horses to watch list, which is different from handicapping. That's sure. Another story.
Well, sure. I mean, when you're doing this on your own, you're liable to pull Lightsaber off and put it on your horses to watch list. Well, you've done right. We're developing a list together. I'm just trying to give you some of my own insights here. I did not choose to put Lightsaber on a horse to watch list. But you might. Yeah, and you might get a price on him somewhere, but he also might be overstepped. Let's go to the race.